This is Health Check from the BBC. I'm Claudia Hammond. Now, every day your heart beats around 100,000 times and pumps 9,000 litres of blood around the body. Dr. Reinhard Friedl is a cardiac surgeon in Germany, and his fascination with the human heart and its place in culture has led him to write a new book, The Beat of Life, examining whether the heart may be much more than just a simple pump. During surgery, he has held hundreds of beating hearts in his own hand. Of course, we don't ever get to see what our own hearts look like. So when I spoke to him, I asked him how much they vary.
Well, they look the same and they look different, yeah. So at the end of a long journey, very often at the end of life, they somehow, sometimes they look a little bit tired, they're a little bit slow, some are a little bit fat. But so they look different, but they all have one thing in common. They love to beat.
And I can't imagine what it must be like holding a beating live human heart in your hand. Or is that just everyday life to you? Are you so used to that, that it's normal?
It is my daily business, and I have touched many thousands of hearts, and this is an amazing experience, and I really always felt privileged to touch someone's heart, yes.
So you're very, very experienced with the heart at a technical medical level. What made you decide for this book to explore the heart at a more emotional level?
Well, I studied philosophy and religions, and throughout centuries and in all cultures, the heart is the self or the seat of the soul is migrating from the heart to the brain and back and forth. Plato, for instance, one of the big philosophers, thought that the self is situated in the brain, and his pupil Aristotle thought it is in the heart. The Catholic Church and the Protestants thought that love is in the heart, and so this is migrating back and forth, and today we end up in neuroscience, which clearly localize, for instance, love in the brain, and I question that.
And of course, the heart is often seen culturally as the organ of love. Is there any science behind that?
Yes, it is. So what was most intriguing to me is that the very first heartbeat is created. We need a very special substance for that. So at the very beginning of our life, when we are only a couple of stem cells, we need something which is called love hormone or oxytocin. And when that is dropped on the stem cells, the heart develops and starts to beat. So the heart is connected to love from its very first beat on, and the heart is capable of producing love hormone and quite effective dosages, and the heart has receptors for love hormone. Why should the heart have receptors for that or produce it when it's not, has nothing to do with it?
Sometimes you hear about people when love has gone wrong, they are broken hearted. Is there any truth in the idea that you can die from a broken heart?
Yeah, we know that. Yeah, so a broken heart is a symptom when we have psycho-emotional overreaction, yeah, when the brain is so much stressed that it cannot longer compensate, it kind of influences the heart so dramatically that it develops cramps, and this causes pain, and this whole symptom is called broken heart symptoms, and in rare cases you can die from that.
And how much has writing the book changed your view of your own work as a cardiac surgeon? Do you think of the heart differently now?
I think of the heart completely different. Before I wrote the book, I regarded myself as being a mechanic who repaired broken engines in people. And so today I more feel like someone who has the privilege to touch a very precious jewel, a very precious organ. And so I would say I treat it with even more respect than ever since before that.
And for all of those of us who are not heart surgeons and haven't seen, you know, hearts beating in situ like this, what would you say would most surprise people if they were to do the job that you do?
I think they will be surprised by the pure beauty of a heart and by the pure strength of a heart, because a heart starts beating 3 weeks after your creation until the very end of your life. And this is billions and billions and billions of times without ever having a break. Yeah. So it is beating when you sleep, it is beating when you make holidays, and it's beating when you laugh, and it is supporting you without ever having a break. And this is, I think, probably most of the one most amazing facts, and this is very visible when you see such a heart somehow.
It makes me feel tired, actually, thinking about it, to think that your poor heart is carrying on all this time and never ever getting a break. I feel a bit sorry for it.
Yeah, but it has a secret. Yeah, so the question is why can the heart always work? Yeah, and to me the answer is because it always relaxes. Yeah, because after every heartbeat, which is always a full beat for life, a full contraction, it relaxes, and the time it relaxes usually is double as long as when it beats. So the heart has a quite good work-life balance, I would say. And that's, I think, something maybe we can learn from our hearts. And maybe we don't have to be sorry, therefore.
Well, that is good to hear. Dr. Reinhard Friedl, author of the new book, The Beat of Life. And I wonder how you see the heart. Is it just a pump to you, or more than that?
Well, I mean, it sounds like a fascinating book, and I'll, be reading it with interest. But I think just pump rather kind of belittles the work that this organ does. I mean, I think it's the most amazing pump ever created. And if you think about it, every single day your heart is going to beat about 100,000 times. In a year, it's going to beat 35 million times. I mean, which is just phenomenal to think about. And then it kind of doesn't peg out until the end of our lives. And it keeps going, obviously, 24/7. And the amount of blood it's squeezing out with each pump is the equivalent of, if you took a tennis ball and you squeezed it really hard, that's about the amount of force that your poor old heart is having to pump out each of those times, 100,000 times a day. So I don't really get this sort of just a pump thing, because it's just such an extraordinary pump.
Yeah, it is amazing. And Dr. Friedl mentioned there the idea that being broken-hearted is a real phenomenon, and it even has a medical name, doesn't it?
Yes. I mean, it was described in Japan. It seems to affect women more often, although I don't really buy that. I think it's probably just been described in women more often, which often happens with these things. And it's called stress cardiomyopathy. And a cardiomyopathy, as a lot of us know from COVID, is just where the muscle of the heart becomes a little bit sick. It's a fully reversible thing in terms of this broken heart syndrome. And the idea is that any intense emotional or physical stress can lead to very specific changes in the heart. But happily, they are reversible, and people do get fully better with just some supportive treatment. The thing is, it feels and looks like a heart attack, but it isn't.
Thanks so much, Anne Robinson, for joining us today. And thanks to the producer, Alexandra Feacham. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Claudia Hammond. And do join me on Saturday on the BBC World Service for The Evidence, when we'll be answering all your questions about mental health and the pandemic. Oh, and also, we have a lovely new animation you might enjoy. It's on the side effects of COVID vaccines and why having a jab won't give you the virus. There's a link to it on the Health Check webpage. It's really clever. Do have a look. Bye for now.